July 19th is shaping up to be one of the most historic evenings in MMA history. Of course, there's Affliction banned in Anaheim, California, and over in Las Vegas, it's Ultimate Fight Night 14. While Affliction boasts many established MMA stars, UFN 14 is filled with up-and-coming MMA hopefuls who hope to one day make their mark in the sport, one of which includes my guest today, Dale Hart. The 5-0 Hart takes on Shannon Guggerty on the 19th. It's a battle of lightweights, and we're very excited to welcome Dale to MMA Rated Radio. What's going on, Dale?
Hey, that was a good job. I think that was dead on.
Thank you. And you're referring to my pronunciation of Shannon Guggerty, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks. I thought you were just, you know, giving me props on the whole intro, but
whatever. It was a fantastic intro also.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So again, great to be talking with you. You are making your UFC debut. You're 5-0, and I mean, I think it's safe to say, and this is not, you know, trying to give any disrespect, but you're a newcomer to the scene. Not a lot of people know about you. You're coming in sort of sight unseen here, right?
Well, for sure. Outside of New England, I haven't been fortunate enough to have the exposure. Inside of New England, everybody knows who I am.
Okay.
You take one step outside of New England, and nobody knows who I am. I don't even have a relative that know who I am outside of New England.
Well, all that is going to change, obviously, on the 19th. As you know, you fight on Spike TV, you fight in the Octagon. Your whole life is about to change. First off, I'm most curious because this is a particular card that came about at the last second. Obviously, the UFC trying to counter the Affliction pay-per-view. When and where did you find out that you will be fighting on a UFC show?
I hadn't had a drink in I don't know how long, like since St. Patty's Day. And we were at Old Orchard Beach in Maine, and my buddy's like, Ken Pavia calls me up, and I was supposed to fight in this X1 show, and he's like, this whole show got canceled. Whatnot, your fight's canceled, you're not going to go fight. And this was my third fight in a row that got canceled since I got a manager. And I was like, man, screw it, I'm going to the bar. My buddy and I, we went and we were drinking a couple beers, and about 2 in the morning, Ken Pavia calls me up, and he's like, dude, you're fighting in the UFC. And so I'm out in this parking lot doing cartwheels, and I instantly set the beer down, and I'm like, I'm out there doing cartwheels and whatnot. I don't mean to be, you know, like a jerk or anything, but my friend, like my cell phone wasn't working that well, and I thought he said Shannon Doherty. So the whole night, my buddy's like, you're playing Shannon Doherty, dude? And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, he's like, you're going to punch that girl in the face? And I'm like, hey, the UFC calls. I'll punch whoever they want me to.
It would not be bad. It wouldn't be such a bad gig to roll around with Shannon Doherty.
Maybe. I don't know. I have very limited pop culture.
Oh, okay. You don't even know who she is.
I actually don't.
Nice.
But from what I hear, she's mean.
Yes.
And my friends all say she's real mean looking.
She is very mean looking. And rest assured, I'll be sending over our friend Shannon Guggerty an anonymous email that you think he's a woman. Just to serve the plot, you know, you need some extra fire into the bouts going into those.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't know if I'll meet him before. I probably will meet him before. I've already been telling people that I feel like I'm his, like, older, really good-looking brother. I don't know how he feels about that either.
Why so?
Well, I think we look a lot of, I mean, from what I've seen of him, I think we look kind of similar. We're about the same height. We got a similar build, and I think we look, you know, we're kind of both pale, pacey white kids.
Right, yeah.
I'm all just right. Like the pale, pacey, better-looking version.
Nice. Nice. I love when fighters get into, like, spats as to who is better-looking, like Forrest and Rampage are doing. It's great. I love that. But when Ken called you, did you believe him, or did you have to, like, ask him several times that this was, in fact, true?
Well, I definitely believed him. Actually, I don't have a cell phone.
Okay, nice.
As funny as that is. And I promised my girl a year and a half ago, that I wasn't getting a cell phone until I fought in UFC.
So
it
did
was
you
like
get one yet?
Self-inflicted
gonna...
punishment.
Did you buy one yet, or are you wait? Does it have to wait till after you fight in the UFC?
I'm getting one July 18th, or 20th, excuse me.
Nice.
What I should say is I'm not getting one unless I win.
Yes, that would actually be a lot better and a great story for, like, you know, when Joe Rogan talks to you afterwards.
Oh, you wait. I got a surprise coming if I win.
Oh, really? Can you give us a hint?
I don't know. I'm kind of like...
Come on, give us the exclusive MMA-rated radio, man. This is your home away from home.
No. I know. I can't do it.
All right, fine.
I can't do it, but it's some people are going to laugh, but I have a good explanation. So I think once I explain it, I think everyone will be, they'll be all for it. All
right, so we'll have you back on the show, and then you can give us the whole backstory behind that. But, you know, talking about the fight itself, and like I said, this one came about at the last second. When did you actually find out? I mean, did you find out around the same time that we all did? Because we only really found out that this whole show was taking place just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he called me up last minute, and he said he was striving for it or whatever, and then he said, no, it's not happening. And then he called me back up, and he said, yeah, it's happening. And I found out maybe, and 2 days later, they posted it on, they posted the fight on MMA Junkie.
Right, okay.
Which so, MMA Junkie knew almost faster than I did.
Jeez, man, those Junkie guys, they're quick on the dial.
Yeah, you know what's kind of funny, though, is that, all right, so one day I go home, and, like, from the gym or whatever, and my girl's got her camera out, and she's like, flex for me or whatever, and I'm like, all right. So I make this retarded face or whatever, and I post it on my MySpace page, and that's the picture MMA Junkie posted
yes,
of me.
I'm looking right at it. Your head is kind of, like, tilted to the sky. That's the one, right? You're wearing the sprawl shorts.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you got UFC gloves on, though. I see. That's good.
Yeah, I just got home from the gym, and I was kidding around with her, and like that's still sweat from the gym. That's why I look so flat, though. I look fat.
No, you look great. You look great. I was very impressed when I saw it. Very nicely built. You look mean. That's the main thing. So it's if they're going to pick one picture, better than that one than some of the other pictures of fighters that are out there. And with this card, like I mentioned, it's filled with a lot of up-and-coming hopefuls in MMA. I mean, other than the Anderson Silva-James Irvin fight, then you obviously have, like, you know, Frankie Edgar and Hermes Franca. But, you know, when you look down the list, there's a lot of guys out there like you who are making their UFC debut. I'll ask you specifically, is this a one-fight contract with you? And if you do well, there are, you know, better things across the other side of the fence? Or have you signed a long-term deal with the UFC?
Well, I signed a four. I think the UFC almost entirely does four-fight deals.
Okay.
But it's one of those four-fight deals where it's really good, like... You know, it's one of those things, like, when the UFC calls me, I've wanted to fight in the UFC for, you know, that's totally my dream and validation and all these things. But it's a four-fight deal. But here's if I lose or I get hurt, I'm done, is the gist of it. So they can cut me at any time, pretty much. But they can keep me at any time also. You know what I mean?
So they can cut you after one loss?
Yes, sir.
Jeez, that's like the like March Madness. It's like win or go home.
Yeah, you know what? And I think sometimes, like, I'm not insulting their business model, but sometimes you see guys, you know, have strategies that maybe are a little bit more boring. Maybe like what Mike Swick did with Marcus Davis.
Oh, like you're talking like the lay and pray style.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of clinch work and, you know, like not very exciting, no damage, but he wins because he's controlling.
Right.
Like that kind of fight. You know, like once in a while you see a few guys and they get rewarded or whatnot for just having good fights, but most of the time if a guy wins, he's guaranteed to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. But if I could offer you a piece of advice, and again, I've never actually fought in the UFC, in case you didn't know. It doesn't always work in your favor. And case in point is Andrei Arlovsky, when he kind of went the safe route against Fabricio Werdum at UFC 70. He thought he was going to get a title shot. And then they pretty much told him that was not impressive and quite boring. And you see where he is now. So I see what you're saying. And it's a problem.
Headline Affliction.
Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, and probably
he's
making
like
more
600
money.
Grand.
Yeah, okay, fine. Bad. But for a while there, he was like mired in a really bad spot. And his girlfriend.
So boring is good.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, his girlfriend is his ex-girlfriend is rumored to be going out with Tim Sylvia. So that's pretty bad. You know, just because it's like his, you know, he lost him twice and now his ex-girlfriend. But, you know, I don't want to, I'm not ripping on Tim Sylvia. I know you guys are both from the same neck of the woods. I'm just saying, like, you know, for your rival to, you know, steal your girl allegedly. But my point is that I think that it's a tough spot that they're putting a lot of fighters in because you're now, obviously you all want to win. We all know that, you know, this is the major leagues. And now when you have to add that extra pressure that you need to survive with every victory, it forces guys, I'd imagine, to sort of change their game plan sort of, you know, subconsciously, right?
Well, maybe. I kind of expected that to happen. And maybe, you know, if it comes down to it during the fight, and let's say I have a takedown and I have good control and, like, I'm like, man, okay, I could go for something or I could maybe take the safe route. You know, and like there's 30 seconds left and I have that kind of situation, I might take the safe route, you know. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm a pretty crazy guy, but I don't think I'm that crazy.
Well, tell us how crazy you are, because as you mentioned, if you walk out of New England, not a lot of people know who you are. You're, like I said, 5-0. None of your fights have gone the distance. I mean, just, you know, looking at some of your highlights and everything, you're very impressive. So just for those that don't know, give us a kind of Cliff Notes version as to who Dale Hart is.
Well, I think the thing I enjoy most is that I'm kind of an oxymoron of fighting, because when you look at me, and if everybody who knows me, like, I'm the last guy you would ever think is a fighter.
Why so?
Well, like, I'm really, I have like 3 serious bones in my body and they're very small ones.
Okay.
I'm a very lighthearted person. I'm a vegetarian. I'm pretty much a Buddhist.
how are you pretty much a Buddhist? Wouldn't you have to, like, fully commit to that type of thing?
Well, you know, I go with a lot of, like, I read a lot of Buddhism, and Siddhartha's life changed my life.
Okay.
And I kind of go in that direction, but I don't know if I would officially call myself a Buddhist.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, it definitely makes sense.
I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, but and my girlfriend put it best, okay? I have my girlfriend's a little firecracker.
Okay.
And she says, we were out one night, and she's like, you know, if they were to split this bar up and pick teams as to, you know, like a random fight, she's like, you'd pretty much be picked last.
Okay. Is that supposed to be a compliment?
No. I don't think so. All right. Like, you know, like, I'm like the fat kid, like the fat short kid in their picket tees for basketball, like.
Well,
but then it's kind of cool because I have a lot of skills and I fight real well, and when I get in the ring, I'm not the same guy.
Well, that's really all that matters, right?
I'm telling you, I think my style will go well. I think I have a fan-friendly style. People in Massachusetts and Maine and New England love to watch me fight, and I always sell a ton of tickets because all my fights are exciting. Like, I have this attitude, and I'm going to bring my same attitude with me to the UFC where, honestly, like, I'm going to bring it, and I'm gonna give everything I have. I'm going to put it all on the table, and no matter what happens, I'll sleep like a baby if I do those things.
You said that you've always wanted to, you know, your lifelong dream was to make it to the UFC. Did you ever try out for The Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was pretty much the last one cut for the
season
the
5?
One that started filming May 16th.
Oh, this upcoming one?
Yep.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, yes and no. My girlfriend was pregnant.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I've been dating the same girl, I think, for 4.5 years or whatever. She's been putting up with my vow of poverty, otherwise known as fighting.
Right.
and she was pregnant, and if I had gone on the show, I would have missed my baby being born.
Oh,
he was
wow.
born May 31st, by the way. But
oh wow! Congratulations again.
Thank you very much. It's very exciting.
Yeah, so if you would have gotten the shot, would you have taken it?
Absolutely. I was ready to go. It was hard for me, though. Like, it was a good situation to be in, to be honest with you, because, okay, when the show called and they're like, you're cut, I wasn't upset. I was happy, you know? And if the show had called and they're like, you made it, I would have been happy.
So, like, either way, you're relieved. Yeah. Either way, it was just a relief to know what you were doing, and it was a win-win situation, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy, though. It was a crazy experience.
Yeah, I mean...
Five TV people. It was crazy.
What
like,
do you think of
the interview?
People?
I didn't really like it that much. I'm not going to lie to you.
Go ahead. You know, I actually used to work for Spike TV, so I'd love to know your thoughts.
Well, I mean, first off, like, I don't really like... I don't know. I'm kind of like a purist. Like, I'm one of those simple people. Like, I wanted you to be like, okay, listen, you're going to fight this guy to get on the show. Like, that's great stuff. I love that. I don't want to go there and be like, hey, I know you can fight, but we don't really care about that. We just want you to be, you know, we want you because you're going to fight with this guy on the show. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
they're trying to blow up your personality a little and make a TV show as opposed to just the you know, showcasing the pure form of fighting.
Yeah, and it's not just that. And to be perfectly honest, I think that's why the whole show is getting stale. Like, how many times are people going to enjoy watching set up drunken rampages and destroying the house? Like, how many times is that entertaining?
No, it's actually not entertaining at once, but I see what it's definitely reached that point, and we all thought that, you know, the new wrinkle of having the fighters fight their way into the house would add things. It sort of added something for the first couple of shows, but then it kind of, you know, irons itself out to be the exact same show. So there is a problem, but the tough part about it, you know, Amir Sadala winning this season of The Ultimate Fighter is like the best and worst thing to happen, because he was kind of like the prototypical, you know, guy who's never fought in MMA or at least in pro MMA. He's kind of a character and definitely the kind of guy that I'm thinking that they're looking for. But up until this point, none of those kind of guys actually did anything on the show. Now that he won, it's like validating that, hey, you know, we can get the characters and maybe, heck, they'll win. You know what I mean?
Yes and no. Honestly, like, I felt like from my experience there, like, pretty much their exact words were, no one cares what you fight like.
Wow. Really?
That's pretty much the feeling I got. Like, you know, and a lot of them were like, yeah, we're fight fans, but they weren't real fight fans. Like, they didn't go to, you know, like, websites, and they watched some UFCs, and like, you know, but they were not fight fans. You know what a fight fan is, and that's not them.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, they're just looking to make a good television show, you know what I mean? And they're looking for ratings, and to them, personalities equal ratings, but there's a reason why, you know, the guys who fought in season one and, you know, season two, season three, there's a lot of those guys filtered throughout the UFC, and there's less guys from, you know, the later seasons, especially this past season. There's, you know, hardly any of the guys got picked. So it's a definite problem. And you can make a case, you know, on top of seeing your, you know, your newborn. Is it a boy or a girl, by the way?
Boy.
It's a boy.
Orion.
Ryan?
Orion.
Orion. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So on top of seeing your baby boy, you know, come into this world, you're also passing all the people who are on the show and making it to the UFC first, which is a pretty sweet deal. Your opponent, much like yourself, you know, on top of some people not knowing how to properly pronounce his name, is a fairly, you know, I guess you could say a newcomer to the sport. He is 10-2, so he's been around, and he has some big wins on his record, most notably Cub Swanson, a very, you know, very tough opponent. A lot of people know him from the WEC. What do you know about Shannon?
Well, I don't know that much. To be honest with you, my girlfriend knows a lot more than I do. She tells me stuff all the time, like, oh, this and this and this. And
I really
like, want to
meet your girlfriend,
cool.
By the way. She sounds like, you know, quite the supporter of your career, and I think that's awesome.
Oh, man. Okay, listen, I'm going to tell you this. This is a story I was going to tell everyone at the UFC before the big thing, but she went out with me, I mean, like 3 or 4 years ago, and we went out and trained a Team Quest, and I went out to train a Team Quest North for 4 months. My girl slept on an air mattress for 4 months with no kitchen table so I could train a Team Quest.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good girl. But so I went out at night after the show. During the show, when I was out there trying out for the Ultimate Fighter, I went over and was training with the Extreme Couture guys.
Okay.
And I started to get to know Forrest a little bit, you know, just from sparring with him and that kind of thing. And so one time I was like, man, my girlfriend's got a big crush on you. I was like, if you would, like, talk to her, I'd love it. So he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So I, my girl's kind of shy, too, like, and I call up and I just dial the phone and I hand it to him and he's like, she answers and he's like, this is Forrest Griffin. And I hear my girl going, oh, my God. And he's like, I hear you have overdue library books. She's like, oh, my God, how'd you know? And it was just really funny, man. Like, Forrest is really, really, really cool guy. Like, it was awesome, actually. It was an unbelievable experience. And my girl does love him. She thinks him and Rich Franklin are just the greatest things on earth.
Really? Wow. That's interesting.
I got to keep my eye on them. No.
Yeah. Luckily, you don't fight in the light heavyweight or middleweight division.
Yeah, especially since I don't walk around at about 260.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's amazing to see someone so dedicated and so, you know, supportive of your career. I really, makes me want to see you, you know, do even better to see you guys both kind of grow as a team in this sport. But more to the previous question, what has your girlfriend told you about Shannon Googarty? What's the scouting report she's provided you?
Well, she did say that he beat Cub Swanson.
Okay.
And she said she has mixed feelings about Cub Swanson. Don't tell him that.
Okay.
Quote, he didn't look so good about against Jens Pulver.
Absolutely.
But he had another fight in the WEC, she said, that he looked better at.
Right.
She said his Cub Swanson's record was solid. He's a 145, and he's solid. She said he's a Dean Lister brown belt. That he trains full-time. San Diego, he was at City Boxing. He left. He went somewhere else.
Did she give you notes or something that you're reading right now, or is this all off the top of your head?
All off the top of my head.
Did she tell you this like every night before you go to sleep? Because you're like, it sounds like you're like memorized it.
I do memorize it. You know, like I do know quite a bit about him now. I know that he has all submissions. He's got 2 TKOs from punches, but he's got all submissions, which is kind of the opposite of me.
And have you watched tape on him, or have you had a chance to get anything on the guy? Because I'm sure that would help a little bit.
Yeah, I actually have all his fights. They're supposed to be arriving at my house any day now.
Oh.
But I've watched a few. I don't want to tell you that I'm friends with the competition or whatever, but I like Jordan Breen and I are kind of buddies, and he is the biggest film nerd you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, that's so I hear.
Yeah, he is. He sent me a bunch of films. And
oh, it's okay. It's okay to be friends with guys like him. We're just little people, you know? if you were like saying someone that's more to our level, but like that's like Donald Trump and like the guy buying little, grocery stores on the corner of the street. So that's all good.
All right, good.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, it's good to have someone like that in your back pocket who has the type of video library. I've always wanted to meet him to see how he gets his hands on all this type of footage. But nevertheless, that's pretty amazing. So, all right. So you go into this fight. Part of you kind of thinking that you need to finish this fight emphatically and in an impressive fashion so that you make your way onto Spike TV, because really that, it's one thing to fight in the UFC, but you need to get on that live portion of the card so that the whole world sees you, right?
Yeah, you know what? Like, honestly, like, I'm not worried about that at all. I'm totally not focusing on that. Obviously you want that kind of fight. I want the UFC. I want to make a big splash with the UFC, and I want them to be like, man, we got to keep this guy. Like, even if I won my fight, I don't want to do it in boring fashion. I want them to be like, man, this is the kind of, I want to be a crowd pleaser. I want to be, but the more important to me is that, honestly, I keep repeating myself, but the biggest thing for me is that I go in there, I give it everything I have. I put every bit of my heart and my soul on the line. If I do those things, I don't care what else happens.
Well, it's certainly an amazing story, and I think now that people know a little bit of the backstory, a lot of people will be rooting for you to do well on the 19th. The guys at Ken Pavia's office, your manager, they let me talk to you, but they gave me the one caveat where I had to tell you to talk about your sponsors. So this is the point where I give you the forum to talk about how great your sponsors are. And by the way, I think I've done, at this point in the last few months, over 200 interviews, and I've never asked one person about their sponsors. I don't know why. It just always slipped my mind. But you are the first one, so go for it. How great are your sponsors?
Oh, you know what? The biggest thing for me is I got three things I'd like to mention if I had the chance. And sure. One is combatfitness.us, which is my personal website. I post my workouts on there. And I'm not sure how large the group has gotten at this point, but I know I get a regular emails from about a number of guys doing my workouts. I'm kind of like trying to get the whole world to change their outlook on fitness. I'm trying to get everybody to like give up on like the whole bodybuilders or the model of fitness and more like fighters and people that are actually physically capable.
Right.
Instead of like having big useless muscles. That's my website. BostonBrawler.com has helped me out. And the last one is this kid named Jason Waterhouse. And he's on my MySpace page, and he's single, has a big wallet, and lets me live with him whenever I train. So.
Wow. I thought you were going to say, like, you know, he's suffering from cancer or something, but that's it. That's the story behind your
mind. Well, he's suffering from brain shortages
with the ladies.
No, he helps. This guy helps me out. Like, he's helped me out with everything, and I really appreciate him. He's been there for me a long time. I've actually been really lucky, Errol, to be honest with you. Like, I've had a ton of support, had a ton of people like behind me, and it's just unbelievable. I'm a really blessed guy, and I feel lucky every day.
Awesome. All right. Well, again, like I said, July 19th, I think it's safe to say the biggest fight of your career, and we're really looking forward to it. It's unfortunate that, you know, the MMA audience is going to be split on that night, and we can't all just sit down and enjoy both shows, but I have a feeling that everyone will also be tuning into Ultimate Fight Night 14, and we're hoping that you'll make it on the televised portion. So this is what you got to do. You go in there, finish the guy off, and then tell everyone that crazy story. And then if you can slip in, you know, as sort of first heard on MMArated.com, you know, maybe we could work something out for your next
I'll make afterwards. A deal. I'll tell you off the air with I'll tell
okay.
you off the air.
Deal. I'm sure all the listeners are very happy to hear that. But nevertheless, I'm very happy. Dale, man, awesome to talk to you. Really, really enjoyed it. And again, best of luck on the 19th.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.